we'll call the Board of Education Rec meeting to order. Seeing the first item on the agenda is public comments.
Can we go through roll call? So we know who's here. Okay. Jim Anderson?
Here.
Tom Gilbertson? Avi Hassan?
He's coming in.
Who, Tom? Oh, there is. Come on in, we just did roll call, you gotta stay here.
Thank you guys.
So, Avi Hassan? Rand Middleton?
Here.
Andy Ogdahl? Chloe Quinn?
Here.
Val Swanson?
Here.
Council reps? Rick Fagerly? Julie Osmus?
Here.
Okay, staff? Alex Obiak?
Here.
Britta?
Here.
Kurt Hine?
Here.
Ryan Scheffler?
Here.
Rachel Lawton?
Here.
And myself, Rob, here.
So seeing that there's nobody here from the public, we'll move on to the second agenda item. There's two sets of minutes to approve. The first set for the July 15th. Is there a motion and a second to approve the July 15th minutes?
I so moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, I will make the motion to approve the August 10th special meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion, any discussion?
I just have a question, Rob. Did you clarify what the process is going to be after they present it to us and put it on? Or is it not going to be given us an update?
As far as when the bid process goes?
Yes.
Yeah, the bid process, Marcus Construction will categorize everything from what happens when the bids come in, and we'll look at the lowest bid and everything, and then it will come, what Brian is saying, that it will still come through Park and Rec.
Wow.
Yep, to make the recommendation to Public Works.
Okay.
So we will see it again.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say aye.
Jim, if I could add, that might be asked as if we go through that process to keep the timetable right, we may have to require a special meeting again. So those people that did attend the Park and Rec special meeting, thank you, because it helped that we had a quorum there and everything, so thank you.
The next agenda item is a summer program recap. Youth Recreation, Alex. Rob.
Number three, please.
Oh, excuse me. Introduction to Rachel. Sorry about that, Rachel.
That's okay. We can skip it.
I'll introduce it. All right. We have Rachel Lawton here. She is the Recreation Assistant. As we all know, that Becky has retired, and Rachel has filled that position. You've been on, for 2.5 weeks now? And it's been good, been real good. Not saying that we don't miss Becky, but there's some things that Rachel can do that has helped our department out already as far as technology-wise and everything. And she's going to be a huge resource for myself for helping with some of the administrative duties with car reports and resolutions and all that. Because she got trained on some of that today as well. So she's going to help out. She's going to help me out with a lot of the processing type of things that need to happen. So here's Rachel. She can tell everyone a little bit about herself and
okay, ask questions. It's really awkward. Can we get you to stand over by the wall and take your mask off?
I can do that.
My aunt 6 feet. There you go. I'm Rachel Lawton. I was born and raised in Wilmer. Went to college at North Dakota State University. Majored in sport management with a minor in business administration. Moved back to the area right after college pretty much, and have been working here, different jobs ever since. I just have a little baby girl in March, and then baby. And my spare time, I like to
Spell your last name, please.
L-A-W-T-O-N.
Okay, and related to Jake?
That's my aunt.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
No wonder you're a runner.
It's a qualification.
Yeah. Thank you, Rachel. Youth programming in balance.
Yeah, should I
stay
here?
I think it would be great practice for you to stand up front.
Yes.
Are you being serious?
Definitely. Good public speaking skills.
Cool. Okay. Hi everyone, my name is Alex Hogan. We haven't officially met in person, so it's nice to finally see all of you, partially. So summer, this is my first summer as the youth and family rec coordinator. Last summer I was just part-time staff. Helping Ryan, but this summer it was challenging to say the least with everything that's going on and all the extra steps that we have to take for staffing wise and for pods and everything like that for participants, but I learned a lot and I'm excited to see what next summer brings. But just a little recap of the summer. I know I reported before that our numbers were kind of down, but that's kind of what I anticipated, just considering the current situation. But we were fortunate enough to have 2 3rd and 4th grade baseball teams who traveled and played in area towns, Atwater, KMS, Bird Island, Olivia, and McCrae. So thankfully there were other area towns that were comfortable with playing as well. We have 1 5th and 6th grade baseball team, 2 5th and 6th grade softball teams, and 1 3rd and 4th grade softball team, and they too played in area towns. Which we're lucky and we're happy to have parents step up and willing to take on all the challenges that come with coaching, especially during COVID. We had a couple new programs this year. We had volleyball and basketball, which were ran by Hannah Johnson and Abby Bulls. They're both college athletes, so it was fun to watch them in their element teaching kids everything that they know about sports that they're very passionate about. As we all know, we canceled our programs with 2 days left, unfortunately, we had some staff that came in contact with one individual that tested positive. So that was a challenge to get the word out fast and then in a timely manner before programs started on that Wednesday. So it was heartbreaking seeing or having kids there coming out ready to go to Little Hitters Baseball and say, sorry, programs are canceled, there's inadequate staffing, essentially. So that was heartbreaking, a little disappointing, considering the fact we made it the whole 6 weeks without any hiccups to have the last few days, but it's one for the books, that's for sure. We had staff in the summer, high school and college students at back, staffing running programs, and they were really good about being very diligent on hand sanitizer at water breaks, hand sanitizer when they came in, and disinfecting equipment after every program. We have had 2 movies in the park this far. Both have been held out of the Warner Civic Center. We had Jumanji, which we had about 35 cars there, which was a good turnout for being our first one. I think people were just kind of anxious to do something. So we had a good turnout there. Unfortunately, no popcorn from Walt or pop from Mike and Coke, but that's just the way it is. We actually have a movie coming out this Friday, August 21st at 8 p.m. We'll be showing Frozen 2, if anybody wants to come out and hang out in the vehicles. Should I give a fall? What's going on in the fall?
That's later on in the agenda.
Perfect. Does anybody have any questions for me regarding summer programming?
Yes?
Okay. So, can you explain to me what the competition is that we have with the baseball boosters and their 5th and 6th graders or 3rd and 4th graders and where we fall in that?
I'll answer that because I got a lot of the history of it. Way back when, traveling baseball was not as big as it is today.
Okay.
And so when Dave was running baseball, teams were at, 17, 18 kids on a team, and it just was a poor group. So, and we're playing each other, and we're playing out-of-town teams. So, in the transition, I took over for David and Toothpiece, and I started working with the out-of-town teams to start prep foods, traveling, local, and everything like that.
With other community members?
Yeah, with New London. It started with those three, and then all of a sudden we grew to McCrae, it's gone to Benson, we had teams from St. Cloud, recording all it from third grade up to ninth grade. So it was a good league and everything like that. I'd say that some of the traveling parents, I want to put this delicately, did not like the competition that we were playing. They thought that they needed better competition and everything. So and also the quality of the teams, I would say. So they like the format that they get to try out kids and select kids to be part of their traveling team.
Sure.
and go about that way. They don't really have anyone governing on that. I know that they have a committee and everything that, you know, the tryout process and everything like that, but, you know, when you can pick your team,
okay.
That's where we're at today.
Okay. I thought the difference was when the boosters that they travel, I think, oh, okay, we travel.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was something about t-shirts, that they all got t-shirts, but then
yeah,
the rep guys get t-shirts.
Yes, we went and bought jerseys and hats, and we went the full tilt way back, wanting to buy everyone, so every kid had a jersey, so.
Okay.
But,
so basically, it's a competition level. It's a hardcore and playing less competitively for prominent.
Yes.
And play more local than the city speaks.
Right. And then it's evolving more where there's Gopher State that they keep standings, and it's a really, it's a higher scale level of them. But also the price comes along with that. Ours is a very affordable.
Sure.
Some of the times that, you know, when you get to the traveling baseball, you know, it gets,
sure,
the price gets up as well.
So we didn't have to take your role then this year?
Yeah. So, Ryan, you dealt with the youth 1 year, would you say that's pretty accurate?
What's that?
It's the competition levels where they're saying,
yeah.
And having governing rules, because it's odd, because we'll play by a certain set of rules here in Wilmer that we make up a league, so here's our league rules. And we set it up where, you know, the umpires behind the home plate, fully dressed in gear and everything. But now they need to go to Belgrade, and they have kids in flip-flops behind the plate. And so it doesn't feel like baseball to them, or the rules change, like unlimited in the last inning, and say, well, no, here's what the rules are.
Okay.
And so there's...
And I think a lot of it happened 2 years ago, too, when Lauren decided to get away from the league for some reason. So like here, prior to stuff, myself came over, they just had one more versus Lauren, so they only had three team teams, and all they did was
yeah.
Well, a lot of those people hated it, so then they're like, then that's all right, kind of got the bad type of rep.
Okay.
And then last year we had 19 during fourth. I mean, we had a great league where we had some of those traveling kids do goal, and that's what our ultimate goal was, at least for the 9 to 10 is to have at least kids do goal, because there's at that age group, they don't do nearly like the league games or the tournaments and traveling. They do like three tournaments.
That's a good point that Ryan said. When we went to in-house baseball, the staff then thought that was the right decision, and it hurt us moving forward. Because more and more people just decided, you know, like, hey, let's do our own thing. And
so we're still kind of building.
We're trying. Yeah. And our relationship with the baseball boosters is pretty good.
Okay.
For the most part and everything, so we're working on it. It's a work in progress.
Thank you all.
Right.
Can I just stand up here?
Yep.
So we have a few things going on. Adult rec, men's league softball, and church league softball are what we've done for slow pitch softball this year. We unfortunately did not have enough teams for a co-ed tournament or tournament league. So we have 2 weeks left for playoffs. Then fall ball will be starting in September 14. We have summer ice out at the ice arena. This is a 6-week program that West Central Hockey is doing, and we've had nothing but, you know, compliments, and everybody's ecstatic that we tried to do something, and it seems like it went pretty smooth. I know you have some daughters in it.
Mm-hmm. It's been awesome.
So yeah, we haven't had any hiccups or scares or anything like that. So I was a little nervous on that, but knocking on, we have 1 week left. Shelter rentals, Rice Park is getting books out now that the Robins Island is supposed to be kind of closed by now. But we were able to get, I think, 5 rentals out of this out of the 4 seasons. So we were able to use it some this summer.
What are you charging for this?
$110. That's all
I'm saying. So we were always under the assumption that the road project was going to start right after the last Rockin' Robins event. So when people would call and say, hey, can we rent the shelter like August 12th? Or say, no, sorry, the road construction project was going to start. Well, that's been pushed back and then pushed back. And then we just had our pre-construction meeting last week about it, and they said that's going to start on the 20th. Next Thursday, Friday, they're going to start putting up silt fence and everything like that. So we just kind of said, you know what, we're not going to rent the shelters out right now, because I don't think it's fair for us to say, all right, someone that called and said, can we use it? Then all of a sudden we said no, and then all of a sudden now someone's using it. So we just felt like it would be consistent by just saying no, the shelter's not available. Does that make sense?
And also the other I was looking to, we had 225 field requests this year between Stinger and all the way down to the Finger Ball. So they got a lot of uses here.
Brad?
Yes, question. How many men's league?
We had 10
church
men's league. We had 10 men's and 5 church league.
And was there another league?
Co-ed, we did not have
one. You mentioned co-ed, yes.
So we normally started in end of April. And we started July 6th, so we had a much, much shortened season. So we had July 6th, and then 6 week regular season, and then playoffs. Normally we're starting fall ball right now.
When are they starting that game?
Hopefully not until October.
Okay.
Yeah, I with the Swanson Fields, we've got to go through the whole bid process, and I don't see that project starting many, you know, October, middle of October, if anything.
So they'll get the pro ball.
Yep, and I only have touch in Greenfield, so I'm only going to have 8 men's and 8 co-ed, so we don't have an issue with that, so we can get at least all the games out of Greenfield.
Yep, and we can use Sunrise Field if need be, too. So.
I should ask Rachel if we need the name tags, especially for support players.
Name tags?
Okay.
She'll get used to everybody.
I got it.
Any other questions for Ryan? Yeah.
So for the summer, Splashpad opened up about middle-ish of July. It's where we had the pool staff originally began to go out, supervising the crowd control and sanitize the splash pad area for the summer. We had nothing but good things come back to us. A lot of parents were like, oh, thank you for being here. We know that safety measures are being followed and enforced here, so they felt safe going to that type of venue. We also had the splash pad staff assist in the bike share program this summer too, which was a great help to me. They were out charging, sanitizing all the club locations throughout their shift. I forgot to mention too, we had Cardinal Place visits and the YMCA bring a couple day camps to the splash pad this summer, which are usually user groups to the pool. So it was kind of fun for them to still get some sort of programming out of it, even though the pool didn't open this summer. For the bike share, currently this week have seen about 52 rides, which is about average so far this week. Roughly each day it's about 2, we'll say, is an average of users per day. The Bolt's Hub that's being used right now is another park. There's a ton of bikes there right now. One day someone took two bikes from here and rode to Miller, and that's where they've stayed now. But so they're getting good use, which is good to see. You can't really find a bike in a Target or a Walmart lately, so this is a good program for them to still get some bike rides in. The community center opened up on the month tomorrow. We've been open and going to have opened. Meal sites are going really well. We've seen a good number of turnouts, about 10 a day. People are coming in for a meal. We've also partnered with the restaurant BE, which is downtown in Wilmer here, and are now working together with them and getting better meal tickets for their restaurant for the Somali population to dine. It's the same program for our seniors as it is for the BE restaurant. So that's been a cool partnership. I'm enjoying working with them so far. Tomorrow we are hosting a lemonade stand at the community center all day. It's National Lemonade Day, so we'll have a cute little lemonade stand out if you want to come by. And then Friday we're hosting National Senior Citizen Day, which is we're going to put on a big event in our parking lot for that. So slowly getting things back rolling like we were, but we've been hearing really good compliments about all the safety measures being put in place. We have plexiglass dividers on each of our tables, so if people are taking a drink out of their beverages, they're still protected with the plexiglass dividers there. It's been going really well. I'm very pleased. Any questions?
No, just regarding the splash pad, a tribute question for the boys and girls. What year did the original splash pad debut at Rice, and what civic organization in Wilmer sponsored it? And I did send Rob an article on this, so you might have
to say JCU's
1984. It's earlier.
1976.
1961.
Rotary.
And it was in
the
park we were in?
It was at
the waiting pool.
Before it was the pool, or
yeah.
What
was that? There was a little
the waiting pool.
Yep. Kiddie pool.
I loved the kiddie pool growing up.
Yeah.
Next, Rob, all programming situations.
Well, we can. Ryan's already kind of talked about the fall programs that he's doing. The situation that we could run into is with the schools. Everyone knows school's going to get started and how they're going to conduct school, either if it's a hybrid method or if it's face to face. At the elementary levels. My fear is that it's going to go to distance learning fairly quick from the conversations that I've had with Dr. Scott Wallner over at Community Ed, that if numbers do increase and they go to social distancing learning, that they're going to shut their facilities down inside and out. Okay, so that means no evening program at that time. And we rely heavily on the school for, gyms for volleyball and basketball. We use their fields a lot for this fall for our flag football program, which we've adjusted our fifth and sixth grade foot tackle program to a flag program, and we've had good response with that. We've been playing out-of-town teams. We're also looking at doing more for intramurals because of what's happening out at the high school and the middle school level, that we can maybe try to do more intramural stuff after school with middle school coaches. But if the school shuts down, I'm fearful that a lot of our programming is also going to shut down. Ryan's like fall softball and all that can still go on because that's on city property, but we utilize the school's grounds a lot for a lot of our programs. So cross our fingers that they don't go to distance learning, but we need to be prepared if it does. So we have basically the city recreation fields, you know, softball, baseball fields to use, the city auditorium, and then the civic center. So it can also be a huge ripple effect as well, too, if the Minnesota State High School League decides not to have hockey this year, that may influence what we do with ice as well. So there's a lot of ripple effects that may happen fall and winter if the state high school league decides not to do things, or if the school goes to distance learning. We've had conversations with the hockey association that they would pick up that ice time for those JV and varsity players, but that's going to be very, very costly for the parents and participants to be part of that, because there's a certain dollar amount that we have to, that we generate every year from the high school renting the Civic Center. And so it's a fine line about how much do we subsidize and how much do we do and all that type of stuff. So I just feel like there's this a very dark gray cloud that's out there that could come over us really, really quick. So I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer, but there might be a halt to some of our programs that if we have to, you know, move programs around to get them onto fields. But like right now, the fields that we have lights on are Baker, Orange, red and yellow. But if they're being worked on, we're going to have a hard time putting youth football fields out there. You know, we've talked to Public Works about putting a field out there on Baker if we had to. It's not ideal, but we got to do what we got to do. Or do we start putting fields at Lincoln and Garfield, but their lights are not adequate enough to have programs out on those. So those are some things that we need to be aware about, that our programs could suffer with that. What that happens.
So just to clarify, when the school's not going to rent to anybody else.
Correct.
Okay.
Because very similar to what happened this spring, that they shut down once they went to distance learning. No one was able to go into their facilities.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the college is the same thing. No one's come on campus unless the doors are all locked.
Yep. So. You
know, because there's a big volleyball movement out there that some of the clubs. The cities and have their own facilities, they're going to run out. And their own facility, I'm not sure how they can get by with that, but I mean if they've got the funds and the courts to do it, that's what they're going to do, and they're going to try to get these kids that can't, you know, be in school, because I was going to say there's not going to be any gyms in our area. Oh, yeah.
That's
there is not a Karen Boer
for the next
month. Who is? Karen Boer.
Oh, okay. So our own club is going to use
yeah.
the.
Okay. Yeah. But I told her once August or September hits that we're going to try to do volleyball almost in there, you know, every day. We're going to have to have a limited number of teams. But at least we can do a 18 league on Monday. I mean, they might have to switch nights a little bit. But at least we can do a few 8-9, 18 leagues, so there's two courts, or we do 10 teams, or whatever the case may be. At least we can get some kind of volleyball, we had our men's basketball, we can still be played. So I mean, we are able to still offer the, you know, program, but just not, might not be as many teams as we play.
But that's going to be a huge, it's a huge ripple effect, because there's only so many hours in a day that we can use that facility, either if it's adults or youth. So it's, if it goes to that, that auditorium is going to be real busy with programming. But then we got to look at it as well too, is do we offer those type of programs? We want to be able to get kids out and about and adults too. But if we start getting into high numbers of COVID cases, what do we do?
But if it goes to virtual, would they have more daytime hours available then?
Like for the schools?
Yeah, I mean, students.
They'll still be at home doing their stuff.
They're supposed to be at home then all 6 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not
long.
Okay.
I got through
them.
I'm just trying to.
And even if they're in school, I just don't see how they're able to get rid of lock down the school. So every kid I've seen in this, but then they're going to allow adult league volleyball to go into the school at night to go play volleyball. Like, I just don't see how that's even possible. They're trying to be that strict on where kids go. Who's in the building? This, and then they're going to let a bunch of adults or youth go in there for program and day. I just don't see them even allowing us to do that.
Conversations I had with Scott Wallner, who's in charge of the facilities when they're at their schools, and we're good until we have to, until the distance learning comes in. So,
are you able to work with the churches that have gymnasiums? Are they tough to work with?
We haven't done it before. It could be an option, but I know some are all churches back up and running even. I mean, that's, some places are going to have their own procedures and everything like that too, so.
Question on hockey. If, even though the cost was more, if the school rented it, if there was parents that wanted to fit in, pay out of pocket, mm-hmm. and just in order to have some usage, couldn't we consider a lower fee than what the school paid, or is it something better than nothing?
Yeah, yeah, that would be a conversation that we would have to have as far as, you know, what would the rental fee be?
Okay.
And that type of stuff. So that's kind of later on now.
Okay.
And if it was something.
Or that's next month's discussion?
Yeah.
See how it makes sense.
Ryan, I may have missed it, Alex, Ryan, youth tackle football?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that going forward?
It is not a tackle program anymore. We reformatted it to be a flag football league.
Oh. For this year?
For just this year. Year, we'll go on as normal next year, but just for this year, just to limit the contact and just kind of trying to keep kids as much apart as possible, and like I said, limiting contact. That would be best for the health and safety of our participants to reformat to be a play football league. Which we've gotten a lot of positive feedback thus far. We've got some teams from McCray, two teams from McCray, and three teams from London that are playing against our four lower teams this year. So I think we're happy to have football in the fall.
Well, we're talking about, I think, well, between the first 3 and 6 was like 170.
Yeah, 100, yeah, over, for sure over 160 participants for first through sixth grade flag football this year. So we're very fortunate for that.
Is there still sign up for that?
Yeah, you can still register. Programs start next Monday for 5th and 6th grade football.
Unfortunately, our tackle football programs, our numbers have gone down from the day that, you know, when it was the Wilmer Youth Football Association that ran it, you know, when we had, you know, 6 to 8 teams. We're getting, when we used to have 100 kids, now we're down less than 50 at times.
Even with the big pumped up schedule last year and everything, with their playbooks and everything.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, yeah, we just.
Play football.
Yeah, but. So then with the flag football, you also get the parents that are concerned about concussions,
sure.
and everything like that. So now this is an opportunity for them to play football again. So hopefully our numbers go up. But it might be something, too, is that we offer the tackle and a flag for the 5th and 6th grade in the future.
Any other questions for Rob? So the next agenda item is the tobacco policy discussion with the and I think Rob's.
I printed off all the information that I sent to you, so if you want to pass them down that way.
I got started on this because I also go on to Julie was formerly a member of that committee. And we were looking at a draft policy for smoking tobacco. someone on the committee asked me what Wilmer's was, and they said, well, I don't know. I'll look what Wilmer's is. So I ended up talking to Rob and trying to find it on the city page, and I found that we probably had revised this policy since August and September of 2010. So it sounds like we really haven't, except in the other fact that it says, our current policy is no smoking during youth events. Okay? So we probably want to update that. And I think Rob gave you, we've got some signage like this, what it says. We've maybe got 20 signs like this.
Yep.
That would help us. And I think once you look at the tobacco-free policy, you have to figure in there's probably going to be some signage required for that somehow. And it sounds like the SHIP program and Hanyohua County Drug-Free Communities would help fund with some signage for that for cars. So I don't know if that's something wrong, but we have to draft the policy that goes policy and city council?
I would say yes, if we're going to get into something that needs to be up into policy, we run it through our department, go to the public works, public safety, and then bring it up to council so it can be formally approved.
So, and then the last email I got from the person who's now currently working with Renville County Rapid, their drug-free communities, is that they use the Public Health Law Center to help them draft that. And they thought that we could do the similar thing because it's attached, I think, is the Spicer policy attached in here?
Yep, it's the very last four pages of your packet that.
So it's not like we have to go out and, well, the city has a lawyer now, that's the city, yeah, the city. Okay. So, interest in that or information only, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's something that we can work on it, and definitely we have to update our policy if it's been 10 years old now. So. Especially with all the advancements of what is going on out there now.
Now they include electronic delivery and everything like that. It's not just no smoking.
Right.
And I don't know what's the policy at Bakerfield Tulsa Stadium.
Same as that?
Yep. Yeah, that'll fall underneath the
Okay.
Part.
Yep.
Is that going to be a problem with Northwoods baseball?
Well,
it should be.
There's no smoking in the
state.
Right.
Well, if it says tobacco free.
Okay.
If we read what's in the first packet, I believe that Councilmember Fagerly asked about that.
Yes.
It was in one of the minutes that I read about with the Northwoods League, and maybe that's later in there, but they said something that they, I gotta find it now, but it was something that they...
They encouraged them to be discreet.
Yes.
So. And
that's something that we can talk to Mark and Ryan about to see if that is a policy on in the Northwoods League that there is no tobacco use, during their games.
And I think with the raising 21, a lot of
those
kids are
probably
not old enough anymore.
Right? It's still just
21
now.
It is now.
Yeah, so a lot of those kids are under that age.
So I think it would be good for us to read over this and keep it fresh in our minds, so when we can bring it back next month with a little bit maybe clearer, verbiage of what Spicer's done. We can do a little research on what the Singers are doing. Just kind of follow through with it a little bit more.
I think it's time to tweak it.
Yes.
Once a decade.
Yeah.
Any other questions on the tobacco?
So Val, you and I can work on that a little bit and try to get that cleaned up and something back to the board here.
Thank you, Val. So the next item is an action item, correct?
Do
you want to be an action item, or how do you want to do introduce the one who's doing this field discussion, and you can explain how you want it back up.
Okay. So I was approached by the owners, more Mark than Ryan, on to have consideration on their field rental for this year because of COVID and the restrictions that they had with their games and everything about the number of people that could attend. So in their agreement that we have right now, their weekday games would be $450 a game. And then it's $350 on the weekends. The reasons why it's $100 cheaper is because we don't have to bring in public works staff to clean the restrooms. They would take that duty on as long as they got reduced rent. So we felt that was a win-win situation with the public works department. They liked it, so that's why the $100 is cheaper on there.
And I asked too, do they also clean the field themselves?
Yes, they take care of the field as well. So. Okay, so if we did, they had 13 weekday games and 11 weekend games. So their total would have been $9,700 for this season with the rate that it's at currently. They're asking for the consideration to reduce that 50%. So their fees would go down to $4,850. Okay. I can totally understand where they're coming from because I know that they are considered a small business. They need the fans and the stands to make the money. I get it, but we as a city also need to understand that we need to generate the revenue, and I'm really fearful that if this happens, it'll just snowball to the next group. Hockey will ask for it. Any other gym rentals will ask for it. Or people are going to ask it back for the shelter rentals. Well, we had this and that. I'm just wondering if this is going to be opening up a can of worms if we start allowing this. That's just my two cents, but this is, well, I'm looking for advice from you. The city administrator wants us to run it by you guys to see what your guys' thoughts are on this. I can understand where they're coming from, but I also see it as far as the administrative side of revenue-wise, because we didn't get as much revenue from our park and rec departments. We didn't get the shelter rentals like what we typically do. So for revenue stream, the city's going to be tight as well. So thoughts?
My 2 cents. They can apply to economic development for a grant for lost revenue, just like any other small business. The city just gave $1.1 million to the EDC. The county turned over their money, and the EDC is managing those funds.
Yeah. If I can add something else too, you know, they're restricted to $250 a game, but that was our understanding. That was the administrator's understanding too. But there was a new mandate that went out later on in July that if they can kind of segregate some pods at the stadium, that they rope it off and they have like a concession stand for just them or in a bathroom facility for them, that they could have additional people there. So there's sometimes that they have had 300 to 350 people there as well. So that mandate was new to Brian and myself. We never saw it. Until Mark, when I started asking him, hey, what was your guys' attendance? And they said, well, 300 this game. I'm like, that's supposed to be 250. And then he showed me the new mandate that the governor sent out. So they had bigger attendance than the 250 as well. I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
Well, the field work was exactly the same no matter what.
That's not what I was going to say, but that's a good point. I was just curious, it's probably none of our business since they are a private business, but have they reduced, does anybody know, have they reduced their rates to their advertising, to who they advertise for and these other businesses? I don't know if anybody
can
answer that. But.
I don't know. I don't know that answer. I don't know if they reduced the rate on their on their ticket price or on their concessions. I don't
Say, I don't think they're out of the season ticket holder, and that can be really great. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they just said you could ask for a refund or just carry it over to the next year or something.
So I don't think you're hearing that should be, unless somebody else.
Well, it sounds like they can apply for the grant, see what they can get from there, and move forward.
So that would be your response to them, Rob?
Yeah, the opportunity for you guys to get the grant dollars and that type of stuff. So, because they could be asking for that too, and then asking for their percentage off as well. So they may, I'm not.
Or is it more of a loan? And they probably, they're saying we want to take on a loan.
So Rob, did they make the request to our board, or did they make a request to Brian, and then Brian said you guys kick it off?
He sent the request to me, and then I talked to Brian about it, and he says, let's run it up the flagpole, see what the Park and Rec Department or board feels about it. Then I think maybe Brian would address it then from there. So
what, normally with our board, if it's an action item, we have a motion and a second, we have a discussion, and then we vote on it. Is that something that we want to do? I mean, that's, we're a pass-through group, and all we can do is recommend it. I don't know that this is really our decision as much as it's really the city council's decision. It has to do with money. And maybe they're just running the flag up to us guys for starters. And I don't know that we have all the ins and outs to have a discussion and take a look at their books or whatever, however the city council does their due diligence. I would like to make a motion and looking for a second to approve it and have some discussion and vote on it. And from there, let the chips fall as they may. I think that's the way that we're positioned to do stuff like this.
Exactly, make a motion to what?
I would make a motion to approve a 50% discount, which is what the request is.
Yep.
It's they can get voted down, it's just that's the motion.
Pardon?
They can get voted down, but that's the motion.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think what we're doing is, not that I know about Robert's rules and orders, but that's the way that we're conducting our meeting. And that's why I asked Rob at the beginning if this is an action item, if it's just a discussion item, we can have a discussion and we can listen to what people said. But does that give the mayor, does that give anybody any direction from what our board is viewing?
Definitely, because you guys are the representatives of the community. You're the volunteers from the community to have your input.
Yeah, and I think we're like landlords here. We're facing, just like people that have apartment houses and rental properties all over are in a pinch. And we've got our economic considerations, but we want to be as helpful as we possibly can to people whose businesses are facing some terrible difficulties.
Okay, there's a motion. Did you get a second?
Yeah, I made a motion. Is there a second? Again, if there's not a second, Rand seconds. Okay. So now is there any discussion?
I was glad they were able to have a partial season. I mean, that was good. Mm-hmm. At least for that, I think for a little bit financially and also for the community.
Well, I know my discussion item too is that I know that this can open up a can of worms, but I think it's a case by case basis. I think the Stingers really did some due diligence to our community. They accepted these kids coming in to play baseball. They opened up their doors, you know, they weren't going to make a nickel. They kept baseball going. And selfishly, I'm sure they didn't want to have a gap, so they had to start it up again. But I don't know, throughout the season and stuff, it's the good ones, you know, okay with. I haven't heard any complaints. They've handled it just like some other businessmen, knowing that there's some ups and downs. And again, my thing is that as a board, I'm okay moving it forward. I don't think that we're as much the decision makers as the city council is. I think the ball's in their court to do that. But I would be in favor of a motion to approve that. Any other discussion?
Should we read the motion, have the motion read just to make sure we understand what's being forwarded?
Yeah.
You know, as Rachel would have it.
You want during?
Oh, to approve a 50% discount for the Lunar Stingers.
Field rental. For 2020.
Okay. So can I just ask a quick question? So then are we writing a check? Or something, the city, where does that?
We haven't invoiced them yet because when they still need to be invoiced.
Okay.
For it.
So it was already less because they played less games.
Correct.
Because they're only getting charged for the time they had on the field.
Yep. They lost 11 games.
Mm. But they didn't have to pay for that.
No.
They have a little bit more double heads. They lost much of June, but they did. They had, I think, 9 days of double heads. They were going to meet them, so they were.
So yeah, they had about 2/3 of their season.
Yeah. I would really like to hear what each one of the members think. The board.
Well, I'm just concerned that if we do something like this, in the long run, does that come back and then they say, because we did this, and we did this, where are we going to come from? Where's that money going to come from if that's programming for kids? I mean, I how do we a clearer, bigger picture to say, if we say we're going to agree to this, does that come back and bite us to say, well?
What, you mean if the Hockey Association comes next?
Yeah, and asks for this? Yeah, to summarize, wasn't the hockey number summarized, and we,
and what, well, they could request it, here? And we could support it, that the in advance it to the city council. I think we need to just, we can show our support for this unique program we have in Wilmer regarding baseball, well, unique to this area, and we can throw our support behind youth hockey to support the people, the volunteers that are behind that, and then let the city council decide.
Let us be bad guys. Okay.
But that's why we can pay the big bucks.
I guess I'm just throwing it out there. Like you had said, this would be a down year. They also have the best attendance, I think, in the Northwoods League. In a normal year, they have over 1,000 people per game, which the other communities I don't believe have that. So is this, if you put them into perspective as a small business owner, is this like a farmer? Does they just, their crop just got hailed up and they didn't have as big of a crop. And then what happens in the boom years when they have the $8 bushel corn, we don't get more rent when they have a great year.
Yeah, but the farms have all kinds of price support programs through the government. Maybe we do have EDC, hopefully.
Well,
I'm not part of the committee, but
what do you say,
Cam?
What was the number you mean by can of worms? Just kind of what we're talking about?
Yeah, that, you know.
People comment?
Well, I could just see that if one got it, are we going to do it for all? And
who else will come?
I'm guessing West Central Hockey will come because they've been lower on their numbers because of the pods that they could have had because they were actually supposed to start in June because we didn't open up the facility. I just think things moving on forward with the Hockey Association because those are big renters for us. You know, because that's going to be the curlers are going to come, Diamond Edge figure skating. So just, there's just going to be people that are going to ask the question. I can't guarantee it, but I feel wholeheartedly that they will.
I want to touch on what Bob kind of said before is they pay per game, and it doesn't matter whether they have 5 people in the stands or 1,000 people in the stands. We still have to get the field ready, drag it, chalk it, mow it, still have to clean the bathrooms. So that cost is the same whether there's half as many people at the games or if they have a full stadium.
Good. So, Julie, my thoughts are just kind of vision of things we go forward. That if it became an agenda item at the city council, then I would suspect that Mark and Orion would be there to make a presentation to sell their goods per se. When we initially did the lease with those guys, they were here to represent their lease. They're not here today to represent the questions about the lease, which if they were here, we would have a lot more information available to us, but that's not available. But if it moved as a pass to the council, then the council would have it right there. They could answer all the questions right on the spot. The council's always got tough decisions. They might ask Rob about opening up another can of worms, and that's something else that the council would have to decide on, because when it comes to things with the Hockey Association, if they're not satisfied with Rob, they can flip over to a council member and say, hey, what do you guys think? You know, so I think a lot of this has got to really kind of do with the council. I mean, I don't need to be right on this, but correct me if that's not a bad.
No, you're exactly right. Ultimately, the council makes a decision, but your input is very important.
Does it have to be all or nothing? Could we support maybe 2,700? And then say go to the EDC and see if you can get the rest. Or is that unsatisfactory?
I think you can bring forth whatever type of recommendation you want from the board, as long as it's board approved.
You have to amend your
question. I have a contract question. Since you said there was a lot more double headers this year.
Yes.
Are they charged for 2 games that day or just?
There's 2 tickets for those games.
So,
well, what I mean is a field rental.
Yeah, so if they had a doubleheader, they should get charged twice for it.
Okay, so I can see maybe giving them a discount. This is my opinion. I'm not on the committee, but maybe get, because I think that 2nd game, they probably chalk the field and drag the field themselves. Is that?
Yeah, right? If it's on a weekend, I'm guessing most of their doubleheaders are on Saturday or Sunday.
They're doing some of that work themselves.
That's why I think that's what you're doing.
Right. So it'll be $100. How much is it per game on the weekends?
$350.
So is there any further discussion on the Stingers Field rental discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
So, does it sound like, was it 2 votes to 1?
Well, there's 5 here, so.
What's that?
There's 5 board members here, so you said yes?
Okay.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Okay, sorry.
So 4 to 1.
I already said it.
Yeah, okay, no, that's good. Okay.
So I'll bring the recommendation up through the chain. They'll probably be finance, wouldn't you say? Or would you?
Probably.
One, two, then it'll ultimately go to council and see what they're. I'll talk to Brian about it as well. I'll let everyone know.
Well, when our recommendations have been in the past, instead of calling anyone on the chain, although that was part of the discussion, we as a board, we recommended that it be a 50% cut.
Yep.
And then it moves forward to the council with the bargaining rights board's recommendation.
Yep.
Okay. So the next item is the tour of Four Seasons facility here in Robbins Island project. And then we want to do that and then come back and complete the meeting. Is that all?
I think you could do the board announcements now and everything.
Okay.
So
should we do the board announcements and then turn and then just do the tour? Is that
yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So does anybody from the board have any announcements or any questions or concerns?
Yeah. Two things.
Yeah.
Julie.
Yes.
It's so helpful you being here. Believe me, every meeting. Thank you.
Okay.
But that was what I'm getting at is, but also is looking out the windows here, $1 million view.
Oh.
I've thought this for many years before this building was here. Just to finish the picture. Be a fountain.
Yeah.
One of those high fountains, you see them in other cities, perhaps. I'm not proposing the city have to do that. I think the way to go maybe is if we ever got behind it, would be, or just to throw the idea out there, would be fundraising. The second thing is, it's my first time in the building. This is really wonderful, and I'm just going to toss this out. I guess the formal name of it is the Fourth Season Shelter. Rob, I believe in one of our, where you requested a written comment about things we would like to do, let's see, done in the city. One of my suggestions was to name a park after Dale Johnson. Dale Johnson was the park and rec director from approximately early 1975 to 1999, and I believe he was known as Mr. Parks. And I think he's credited with our logo, which is the City of Parks. And I talked with Becky, and I was going to see if she could help me with some more information about Dale's career, and especially the years. And we visited last night, and Becky worked with him for 13 years. And she said, well, there's that Four Seasons Shelter out there. Why not consider naming that after Dale Johnson? As I said, I'm just throwing the idea out here. I think we need a more documentation about his career, any way we can get it, if in any way we can bring it together. I would be willing to work on that with the help of the staff at the office. And Jim, do you have anything to add? Because I know you worked under Dale Johnson for many years, too.
You know, I can be part of this discussion, but maybe I just need a little time just to think about some things. Because I mean, we're just chit-chatting.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to the day when Al Swanson was the park and rec director, and then Orville Baker was the park grounds guy, and then Dale stepped in. You know, one of the things that is a credit to Dale is that he took the opportunity at that point in time. There was a number of grants available for parks, and he built parks like nobody's business. got the Canada Park on the north side of all these parks. I think it was a credit to him as far as finding outside funding and stuff to do that. And not that we have a problem today, but Gil's getting many parks that it's hard to keep them off, you know. But that's what he did with all back there. He was definitely, that was his niche, is to do the parks. And as far as the programming and stuff, Dave Gordon was there for 25 or 30 years. Trev didn't have as much programming experience as, you know, the physical part of the parks.
And how long was Leanne?
I think Leanne.
Years.
For sure.
Leanne and Dave did it for years, many years.
Oh, yeah, oh, Leanne, yeah.
So, you know, Dale, too, just even like currently, I know that he's big at the historic society.
Oh, yeah.
And then also with the war memorial at the auditorium. He's kind of the, I don't know how you say this, but he's the person that, you know, speaks about it, represents it, you know, it's the history of it. And, maybe another credit that he has in his pocket. But.
The last thing I would say that Becky mentioned last night, those years that Dale was here, was it's a time of expansion of subdivisions in Wilmer as it grew out. And Dale was always there to make sure those plans at a city room for a city park.
So, Rand, do you think there's a difference between someone that was their job, they were paid, that was their job, versus Elsie Clemenson being an incredible citizen, well, community volunteer?
I do. I guess I'd just point out that we named. But Baker Diamond was named after a city employee.
Okay.
Swanson Fields, with two S's, was named after Al Swanson, who actually had a shorter tenure than Dale Johnson, but he was rightfully honored still. A wonderful, a beloved man. And just a note on Swanson Field and what is now Bill Talton Stadium. It was Dale that brought the updates, I believe, to Swanson Field, and it was in his administration that Baker Field and what became Bill Talton Stadium was built, opening just in time for the 1979 American Legion State Baseball Tournament. But that's when the new field really debuted. And of course, it was nothing like what it is today. So that's it. Just want to throw that out today. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy.
Yeah, thank you. What are those considered discussion? Hearing that, is there a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting? I'll make a motion.
Second.
Motion and second to adjourn. Discussion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same side. Meeting is adjourned. And now